Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, folks? This is a diary. This is your host, Little Baby Space, on Sunday, July 11th, 2010. And welcome and thank you. You know, this has been a hell of a week, crazy shit in America as usual, and I think we've crossed a threshold in America where everything is crazy every day. And ever since I've started getting the paper, it's all bad news, and I guess that's what the paper's for. But today we are going to talk about some really exciting things that I enjoyed researching. And, you know, living in Cali, and in Northern Cali, they've been gearing up for whatever would come from this verdict from this young gentleman that was, his life was taken away, as many young African-Americans' lives are all across America. Oakland's no different from any other state. And we in the north, so imagine what goes down in southern states we know nothing about. But I'm sorry, I got to turn off my speakers because I was bumping some really good music right before, and I have to do that to pump myself up. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the riots, and we're going to talk about the history of riots and and I found some really interesting things. And once again, as I research, every time I look into stuff that really directly affects African Americans, I always feel shortchanged because, you know, there's a history behind rioting. They know exactly what's going to happen. And for them to even say the word riot, you know, conjures up visuals of violence. And that's all they think African Americans are all about. So I'm hoping now that I'm here and forward, that we can begin to change those things. So we're going to talk about the psychology and the history behind riots. We're going to talk about, in particular, in short detail, the Los Angeles riots. And then in full detail, the Newark, New Jersey, and Detroit riots of the 60s. About the same time, 67, 64, 65, 66, back in those days. And whatever fueled those riots back then and fueled, and we're going to also talk about riots in the 1900s and when my daddy was born and that kind of stuff. The same stuff that fueled those riots back then would fuel the riots that would have occurred. And I was in Oakland a couple of days ago, and there was nothing. And they make a big thing out of it because that's what they want us to do. And we need to study and know that that's what they want us to do. And that has always been the way that I've trained my sons. This is what they expect of you. So you're a damn fool if you fall into the trap. So today we're going to talk about riots, the psychology behind it, the different types, members, players, and in particular we're talking about the L.A. riots. 60s, Newark, New Jersey riots of 67, I believe, Detroit also, and what causes them, and it's never going to stop because the same shit that was going on back then is going on in 2010, so it's not going to stop. So, okay. So, last week was the 4th of July show where I waited all, you know, until my kids, waiting for my kids to show up and give me valuable input, and, you know, they play me. So, you know, I'm going to play their little asses back, and it's all good. It's all good. I'm going to play them back. But, yes, if you listen to the end of the show, you'll see that Miss Jessica Rodney and my baby boy showed up at 3:59, a minute before the show ended, and we added on a little silly stuff. Rodney said, it's beautiful being black in America. He said, word up to Obama. So, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, first thing out of his mouth, being a young black male of about, Rodney's about 30, close to 30, something like that. Gabriel, too, in their 30s. You know, they took the brunt of the stupidness. You know, if you didn't have a strong foundation and you didn't have strong mentors, you know, that generation of kids is just, everybody got a felony, put it plain and simple. So, yeah, those dummies showed up at the last minute, word out to Obama, and, you know, that's good, exactly, because, you know, these black boys need some kind of role model. They need some besides these idiot sports players that don't do nothing but get themselves in trouble. over D and P and everything else and dogs and stupid shit. So, yeah, word up to Obama. Let's see. One thing before we go to break, we're going to discuss in detail the low-performing schools and the cuts and the budget cuts and shit. And, you know, call me crazy and shit, but I think, you know, when your school is a low-performing school, you know, the kids are already fucked up, right? But, you know, these teachers are supposed to be credentialed teachers that can, to me, a teacher's like a doctor. You know what I'm saying? If every patient this doctor sees dies, even if they have a cold and the motherfucker ends up dead, that's a fucked up doctor. That's a doctor that needs to be removed. But in the terms of teaching our young children who are shaping our country and our world, no such standards apply. And I really don't understand the dumb motherfuckers that are in charge of our country. And it makes no difference if you vote. You know, and it's like, you know, I think over the past 20 years or maybe since America's inception, we've all been programmed to be duped. Oh, vote, vote, vote. Well, I voted, and, you know, my side got to play games with the other side. You know what? I mean, I don't understand. You vote, and these motherfuckers play games with our lives. You know, me being if I got cancer today, I would most likely probably be dead within a year. Because I have no health insurance, and whenever that law kicks in, I'm cool with it. But you know what I'm saying? But I worked my whole life and paid into medical benefits all 22 years, as long as I've had kids, by myself, as a matter of fact, never been reimbursed. But, you know, I always bring that shit up. But now that I may need them, and even my little homie Gabriel said, you know, that's kind of fucked up. You worked hard your whole life, supported your kids your whole life. And now it's just you, and you're struggling. And I'm like, yeah, that's how they design the shit. And more in particular, probably the last 10 years, that's really how it's all been designed. That if you ain't smart enough to, I guess, scam motherfuckers for your money, or I don't know what, kiss ass and be a corporate slave, you're not going to have any money. But you know what? Like my blog say, I believe in something bigger than these little motherfuckers that can write a check for me. You know? And that's why I can't be a preacher, because I'm too busy cussing. You know, but I'm in the Word every day, and that stuff is true. And things are true. You know, and it's like we have to do something for our kids. You know, one mom telling me today how Natomas High, her daughter's all fucked off. You know, she graduated with a D, a C, and 4 F, but she graduated. And I was like, well, you know, it's a resort for the teachers, and it's a play yard for the students. Nobody has any concern for the welfare or whether these kids are learning, because nobody's held to any kind of fucking standard when it comes to these fucked up public schools. So back to the subject of low-performing schools is what the new Sacramento Bee showed me this week, is that all the budget cuts, the majority, 100%, the biggest cuts were from low-performing schools. And that's bullshit. If the kids aren't ready learning, why the hell are you going to take more? You know, that's bullshit. And what do we have to do in order to make stupid shit like that stop? I don't understand it. My kids, thank God, are out of the public school system. Thank God. But every mother I see in Natomas, I tell them, put them in Natomas Charter School. Don't put them in any public school here, and especially Natomas High. They don't give a shit about kids at Natomas High. I got two to show it. Thank God. They were doing so bad, they were shipped off to Discovery High, which is an adult continuation school where they give them respect and treat them like men if they are young men, and don't treat them like little convicts like they do at Natomas High. Anybody out there within the sound of my voice, don't put your young black son in Natomas High. Put him somewhere else, but don't put him in Natomas High, okay, unless you're ready to fight. Or, single mom, if you got your daddy or your man there to go every week and get your respect for your son, put him there. But if it's just you, don't put him there, because you got too much shit to do to be fighting racist-ass teachers and racist-ass administration at Natomas High for your black son. Don't do it. Anyway, so it makes absolutely no fucking sense for a low-performing school all across California, all across California, all across, 100%. Have the highest budget, teachers, everything cut, highest. And if you know anything, you know, the low-performing schools are in the low-income neighborhoods. So not only are the dumbass kids poor, they're going to get dumber and dumber. That's like saying, okay, well, they have cancer. You know what? Just take them off chemo. Give them vitamins. Fuck it. You know, that's the same thing we're doing to our kids. We're taking them off what they need and saying, fuck them. Grown motherfuckers are saying, fuck kids. And what can we do? I don't know. I don't know what to do other than talk here. And if you got young kids, stand up for your young kids and make the motherfuckers account for every day your young kids are forced to be in a public school system and stay on top of things. This is the diary. This is where I love you. And we have three new songs today. One, Free for All. Second is One Drop, which is a reggae beat, and Dark Time. And we're going to talk about the riots, which is a dark time, but it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop unless we make it stop. There's a psychology and there's a method behind this shit. Just for them motherfuckers to put the word riot on the media, let me know what they predict and what they plan on doing with your ass as soon as you go outside and act a fool. So my hope and my dream and my everything for my people is to don't even go out there. Trick them. You got to play their game the way it needs to be played. We've been getting played by the game. Ain't nobody ever told black people you're getting played by the game. They've been playing that shit since they freed your ass. And worse upon worse, black motherfuckers have been helping them play you. NAA, nigga, and all y'all, Sharpton, Reggie, Jess, all y'all. You helped the motherfucking white man play all of us. But playtime is over, motherfucker. So, in honor of my dreadlocks, and I dread because I'm dreaded. You know, I'm going to be out there in the street and motherfuckers is going to dread me coming because I'm not standing up for this bullshit that it looks like every 40 years they gave us a little hope to keep us going, but we still fucked up. So we're going to talk about the riots. We're going to talk about all that shit. Low-performing schools. Let's do some shit and get our black kids in a black school that teaches black history and blackness and blackie and get your shit right. All right? One drop in honor of my dreadlocks, baby. This is a diary where I love you. One drop. drop, baby, one drop. This is a diary. One drop of my dreads will make you happy because they're gold as my beautiful smile. One drop, one, that means one person to me can make a difference in the lives of a whole lot of motherfuckers. Because if MLK would have never been born, imagine where your sorry asses would be. So what you need to do, figure that out and take it to the next step. We too old to be still the brokest motherfuckers in America. So this is a diary, baby, where one drop and baby stays and the Association of African American Single Mothers one day will be where it's supposed to be to do what it's supposed to do and make my people be where they're supposed to be. So what we're talking about today is the history of rights, and there's so much shit to go over. So I'm going to do my best to stay on point and read the history of the rights. So, I got this information, history.com, University of something that I don't forget. So I'll make sure I get it on and give them all their credits. But this ain't from Wikipedia or some bullshit that some dummy might have just put up there. This is your shit right here. So, you know, because when you see riots, you always see us, you know. You always see us out there and getting pinned down and getting fucked up. So let's go. Scholarly concern with riots and crowd behavior dates back to some of the earliest theorists who can be called social scientists. A dude named Laban, he was born 1841 through 1931. So long before them motherfuckers was mowing us down with dogs and water, okay, they knew what they was doing, all right? Often credited as the most important early writer on crowd behavior, published The Crowd at the end of the 19th century, a book that influenced thinking about temporary assemblies of people for decades after. Laban and other important crowd theorists, such as Sigmund Freud, and we know that old motherfucker, views crowds as crazed, you know, criminal because they were sure us, masses of anonymous individuals who ceded psychological control of themselves to the group mind, whose behavior was being directly controlled by the mob. Although this view of the crowd has been almost completely debunked, thank God, in later empirical work, it is important not only because it had a decisive influence on the development of social psychology and sociology, but because the notion of mob psychology still lives on in the popular mind of the media, okay, media. In particular, when serious writing occurs, it is inevitable that commentators will draw on Labonian notions to characterize both what more so are expressive incidents in which actors have a large variety of motives for participating. They also make purposeful choices about their own behavior. And although some coordination of activity occurs, crowd members actually engage in a very heterogeneous behaviors, and that means very different and very diverse. So everybody involved is doing something totally different. So what is a race riot? And that's what I want to go over is what a race riot is. Defining race riots is a two-step process. First, we must come to an understanding of what constitutes a riot, and then among those events that qualify, decide which are fundamentally racial in nature. One can easily imagine an event that would qualify as a race riot. Hundreds of people in a pitched battle on the streets of a large city, where one racial group hurls rocks, bottles, epithets at the other, and then receives an in-kind response. Such visions of race riots are straightforward. The edges of the concept, however, are more difficult to establish. One tricky issue is the number of people involved. Rioting is undoubtedly a collective phenomenon. A single person cannot riot. But how many people are necessary before we can call the event a riot? Indeed, social scientists have often faced this issue, and lacking a reason to use a particular threshold, have instead decided to call the event in question collective violence or civil disorders. And in fact, many of the events analyzed in such studies would not be recognized as riots by most social scientists. Most social scientists' studies of phenomena that are called riots appear to involve a minimum of 30 to 50 people, even if the particular conception of a riot is something of a much grander scale. A second defining characteristic of a riot is violence. Protest marches, confrontations between two racial groups, or even face-offs between citizens and police cannot be called riots unless some kind of physical violence transpires. Definitions of riots and of the broader category of collective violence almost always include the requirement that someone is injured or significant property damage occurs before the event can be counted. So we say riot and nothing even happens. Oh, will they riot? Will they riot? We have the police in riot gear. So when you talk that shit, you put it out there in the airwaves, because with riots, we know from the past, associate violence with your actions. So if a motherfucker's just standing out there saying, you know, you're really fucked up, that's not a riot. All right, stupid motherfuckers. But what they want us to do is picture in our minds what a riot is, because, yes, technically, a riot means violence. Okay, so, you know, whatever you put out there in the air is what's going to happen. Even the people that go out there in the street, keep your ass in the house, because they're expecting you to do this shit. They're expecting violence. And you'll see in a minute, with violence comes you getting your ass kicked. So here we go. Sometimes, however, it is only necessary that such damage or injury be attempted rather than accomplished, especially if your skin is of a brown color. And now I added that part. If a large crowd of protesters pelt the police with stones and refuge, but the police are adequately protected with riot gear so as to prevent any injury, scholars would still judge that a riot has occurred, dumb people. Third, riots must have a significant period of duration. A clash of only a few moments that is immediately broken up by authorities is rarely considered a riot. And finally, riots involve a temporary breaking away of the participants' normal routines in a way that is not typically sanctioned by authority or prevailing social norms. Rioting is not everyday behavior, and also must be distinguished from sanctioned violence, like an American football game or the running of the bulls in Spain. All right, so even having drawn a boundary about what social scientists have considered to be riots, it is still important to recognize that the diversity within the category. Consider the differences among these subtypes of riots, all of which meet the demands of the core definition. Sports celebration riots that often occur after championship games, Los Angeles Lakers. Genocidal ethnic purges, such as those that occurred in Rwanda in the 1990s. Food riots in Latin America. Machine-breaking raids in the 19th century in Britain. Brawls among soccer fans throughout Europe and in the 1980s and 90s. Lynch mobs in the southern United States, which we'll talk about in detail, in the late 19th and early 20th century, immigrant protests of French police brutality that resulted in thousands of torched automobiles, and the urban riots of the 60s that occurred throughout the United States. Among these many forms of rioting, a race riot occurs when a racial grievance is expressed or is apparent through the behavior of the rioters. For example, if African-American riot participants selectively loot white-owned stores, then a racial riot has occurred. If white Klansmen attack a peaceful African-American civil rights rally, if an African-American crowd burns down a government building in reaction to reports of white police brutality, or if Mexican-Americans we and everything, we the only ones that riot? If Mexican-Americans and African-Americans clash on the border of their neighborhoods, causing death among one or both groups. Then a racial riot has occurred. All of these scenarios were repeated throughout the 60s. Yes, we know. What causes race riots? Okay, wait, hold on. Here we go. Although the U.S. urban riots of the 1960s dominate both the popular vision of race rioting, and I think because it's over our little black people, and we love making us look bad. That's what I want to kick media in the ass for, and rap in the ass for. Urban riots of the 1960s dominate both the popular vision of race rioting and the scholarly literature on the subject. It is far from the only race rioting in the history of the United States. U.S. race riots can be thought of as belonging to one of two categories. The first of these, typified by the Watts riots of 1965, and we'll talk about that in Los Angeles. The Newark, New Jersey riots of 1967, we will also talk about that, and that took place in Newark, New Jersey. And the Detroit, Michigan riot of 1967, we'll also talk about that. And we will not talk about the Washington, D.C. riot of 1968, but depending if we don't finish with all of these, we'll add that to next week when we finish up these. Now, these riots were most typically sparked by a confrontation between local police and African-American residents of poor inner-city neighborhoods. In the most severe of these riots, the action lasted for several days, and millions of dollars of property damage occurred before the authorities reasserted control of the riot area. The activities of rioters was most often directed at, The actions last for several days, and millions of dollars of property damage occurred between the authorities reasserted control over the riot areas. The activity of rioters was most often directed at damaging stores and government property rather than attacking members of another racial group. Injuries and a few deaths did occur, and we'll go over in particular, but these were mainly the result of police attempts to contain and extinguish the riot. Events followed in the wake of the large riots and spread unrest across the region and the nation. And although there was a major concentration of these events during the 1960s, similar riots have since occurred, of course, throughout the United States. So let's see, where are we? Okay, we're good. Okay, here we go, and we'll talk about this in detail, but the reasons of, okay, before the 60s, the dominant kind of racial collective violence did not involve minority attacks on symbols of economic and political exploitation. Rather, they involved majority group members attacking minorities who had made gains in competition over occupational and residential turf. Here, the dominant character of the conflict was white groups physically attacking members of minority groups and destroying their property as well. For example, thousands of whites gathered in the Five Points area of downtown Atlanta in September of 1906 and ended up murdering dozens of blacks. Other such riots occurred throughout the United States, including both southern and northern states. In the Red Summer of 1919, a devastating string of riots across the United States, killing many whites and blacks in cities such as Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Omaha. Nebraska? Why? Although in extreme cases, the authorities had to set up in to quell the violence, more often than not, the attacks were carried out with the approval, if not active participation, of the police. So, you know, that's how they roll. Let's see. And we're going to talk about, in particular, the Newark, New Jersey riots, the Detroit riots, and very skim on the L.A. riots. But I didn't find as much detailed information. So we're going to go over, you know, usually it says competition, notions. However, have more success in predicting both kinds of writing. Here, the idea is that competition over scarce resources, aka jobs in coveted residential areas, produce conflict, especially when one group begins to think and begins to gain, perceive, or it's perceived that they gain over another. The group that is losing ground is therefore motivated to fight back and to punish those who seem to be threatening its position. In the end, though, economic conditions are not strong predictors of racial writing. Economic hardship may very well be a prerequisite for writing, but is not sufficient to ignite the flames of writing itself. Other conditions such as poor relations between the police and the community in Oakland, right, must provide the catalyst in areas where economic conditions have created fertile ground, right, for unrest. And that's what we're going to talk about in Newark, New Jersey, in Detroit, in L.A., where there's so much fucking fertile ground that people just go crazy when they feel that they're being unjustly targeted and all kind of crazy shit. So at that time, we're gonna take a real break right now, and I'm going to play Dark Time. And that is one of our – when I looked for music today, I wanted music that was mellow because riots are definitely not mellow. And what you put out there is what you get back. And even though I'm educating people on riots, that's not what we want back because it only hurts us, and we'll see. You know, the police, they're active participants in the shit. You know, they get their jollies from this shit. That's why they dress to the nines and you wearing shorts. They know what's going to happen. Keep your ass in the house. You know, but what I have to say, when I did go to Oakland, the only broken window I saw was in Sears. And, you know, that's that racial thing, right? The people, the poor people hitting the corporations or the people they, you know, I guess they assume somebody white on Sears, so they tore up the windows in Sears. So we're going to take a break, baby. Dark time. It was a dark time, but we don't want no more dark time. So we got to figure out what to do because it's never going to end. You know, they're going to keep killing black men until we give them a value. They value themselves. We place a value. We demand that they're valued. They're going to keep doing it. This was a dark time in our history. It's no more. But people like me and people like yo, we gonna get this shit together. This is the Diary, baby, and you know I love you. We be back. Baby, 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 baby. That's Dark Time. back in the 60s when I was born, I swear. And see, I had some old-ass parents. You know, so I know they was watching the news, and I was the only baby. I could feel it. I was watching the news, too, from the other side of the crib, watching shit on fire. And hearing my daddy say, don't you take your ass out there, to all my brothers that was old enough to take their ass out there. You know, I'm sure. Having six sons, you know. Shit, I got brothers that's 10, 12, you know, years older than me and some. I know they was like, dad, you know. Johnson, no, you take your ass out there, I'm going to beat your ass. You stay in the house. You know why? Why fuck up your own shit? And we live in South Central, so I know some shit was on fire over there. So, you know, word up to moms and pops. Shit, ain't no convicts in my family. That's why I told my mom, I'll put my foot so far up in my son's ass, they'll think they Adam's apple is the tip of my motherfucking shoe. Ain't no jailbirds and with the name and the blood of Johnson running through your ass. If so, oh, no. So anyway, this is a diary, baby. We talking about rioting. But people get us so upset, they don't know what else to do. That's why I don't even know what made my family so different. But we ain't got no history of dumb shit. Thank you, Mom and Daddy. God damn it. Anyway. History of riots, 1960. We're going to talk about the Watts riots of 65, baby. When little baby Stace probably wasn't even a year yet, because this started August 11th, 1965. Little baby Stace wasn't even a year old. It lasted 144 hours or 6 days. With the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 64, okay, race relations seemed to be headed in the right direction. Right. However, states acted to circumvent the new federal law, including California, that created Proposition 14, which moved to block the fair housing section of the act. Okay? So no, niggas, you can't live with the white folks. This created anger and a feeling of injustice within the inner cities. I don't even know, man, but I was there. August 11th, 1965, Los Angeles South Central neighborhood of Watts, baby, became a scene of the greatest example of racial tension America had seen. A Los Angeles police officer pulled over motorist Marquis Fry, who was with his brother Ronald. He suspected Marquette, of driving drunk, of course. While officers questioned them, a crowd of onlookers began to form, baby, when Rena Fry, the boy's mother, showed up. Okay, all right, that would have been me. A struggle ensued, see, goddamn, which led to the arrest of all three members of the Fry family. See, that would have been me, Freddie, Jesse, Chris. We would all been arrested because Chris ran off his mouth. More officers had arrived on the scene and hit the brothers with their batons, and then Mama Fry went nuts. The crowd had grown and by this point had become angry. After the police left the scene, the crowd and tension escalated and sparked the riots, which lasted 6 days. More than 34 people died, 1,000 wounded, and an estimated $50 to $100 million in property damage. After the Watts riots, then Governor Pat Brown named John McCone to head a commission to study the riots. The report issued by the commission concluded that the riots were not the act of thugs, but rather symptomatic of a much deeper problem, the job loss rate in the inner city, poor housing, and bad schools. Let's see. Sounds like 2010, motherfucker. Although the problems were clearly pointed out in the report, no great effort was made to address them or to rebuild what had been destroyed in the riots. Los Angeles riots, motherfucker. Little baby state. Well, we didn't live in Watts. Thank God. We lived off the 48th and Western, far, far cry from Watts. But, you know, it was still up the street, down around the street, still my people. And, you know, my God, how I wish I was, you know, oh, my God. Anyway, that's the Watts riots, you know. You know, shit, it's just injustice, always, when it comes to African Americans in our own hood. And now when we go over Newark and Detroit, you're going to be more pissed off. So here we go, the causes of the Newark riot. A variety of factors contributed to the Newark riot, including police brutality, political exclusion of blacks from city government, urban renewal, inadequate housing, unemployment, poverty, and rapid change in the racial composition of the neighborhood. And we'll take each one separately, and we probably will not do this all today. Because people need to understand, and that's what's wrong with even women my age, mothers, fathers, we don't take into account all of the injustices that made who we are today. And, you know, the same shit is going on. And we need to study this. And, you know, people that don't study their history, they're lost and they're doomed to repeat that shit. That's not me. That's the history. People wiser than me said that shit. Black people need to realize when I go over this shit with you, there's nothing no different than 2010. So that means whatever's happening here in this shit will continue to happen until we step our feet up and handle some business like it should be handled. So I'm going to do as much as I can today, and then we'll add on the riots in D.C., and then by next week we'll have it done. But we got to stop this shit. I mean, the only way to stop it is to give people hope and to do things that actually have an effect in people's lives. Nobody black in charge is doing that for black people. I mean, they ain't even doing it for white people. So you know they ain't doing it for black people. And the only cultures that are surviving are cultures that believe in family and preservation through family. Black people don't do that shit. So where do you think we're going to end up? You know, even within families, motherfuckers is crawling and dogging and all of that shit. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. I mean, wow. But not my family, you know, and I'll put it to any family member of mine. We know what's up. You know, shit, whatever. We know what's happening, and we as a black nation, as a African-American people, we need to get our shit together because they're going to just keep beating our sons. They just going to keep killing our sons if we don't do some shit. And history will tell us. The riots, everybody's got a part, that heterogeneous shit. Everybody plays a part. The part of the cops is to beat your ass as soon as they see you outside. Nobody is doing anything to keep these young black men from being killed, from their mamas to the government, or from top to motherfucking bottom. So we, me, at the Association of African American Single Mothers, we trying to do something. We going to do something. You know, everything, everybody, things evolved for me so much this year so I can actually do something. So I'm not a slave to these white motherfuckers. But not to do that, that is a job in itself. It takes a bold motherfucker. And hey, I stepped up to the plate. So here we go. We taking a break because I have to play my other song. Let's see. Free for All. That's what it's going to be. Just like I had to tell my boy when I'm out showing off, you know, what we're trying to do for these young black felons. All right, so they won't rob all of us for the next 50 years, but feel that they have hope in their lives. You know, you free. You free. You have to know that in your mind that you are free and you can do whatever you put your mind to. And even Gabriel said, well, shit, we salespeople, we salesmen. Shit, we was just selling the wrong shit. I was like, exactly, motherfucker. Sell the right shit. You probably do better than anybody white because you knew how to hustle to get your shit rolling. Free. For all. We're going to take a break. This is a diary. I love my people. And until I die, we're going to be doing this shit. I thank God. I thank three people, like I say, my mama, my daddy, and the God that made them, that made me. This is a diary. We're going to do this shit. Because black people, you free, nigga. You need to put your mind to whatever you put your mind to is what you're going to do. Free for all. And I'm going to be here spitting like Delon. I spit. And we're going to be free. We'll be back. That is free for all, free for all. And that Daylon chick was for my nigga Chappelle, because that is one brother that chose not to sell his soul for the white man. Because Daylon spit. He spit and he spit. So this is a diary, baby, where we love you just as much. We don't settle. We do whatever the fuck we do, because we know how the end of the story ends. We know how it ends. So believe in what you believe and believe in your mind. Don't believe in some bullshit. You got to understand, and there's only one place, really, you're going to find the truth. You know, I cuss a lot, but, you know, I have to ask God every day to forgive me for my mouth. I'm going to get it right, but you need to have your faith planted in the good book and figure out where you're going and what you're supposed to be doing, because 9 out of 10 motherfuckers you meet is going to dupe you. The only person that ain't going to dupe you is the one that made you, and I ain't talking about your mama. So she might dupe your ass, too. Trust me. I'm dealing with little youngsters. Most of them's mama done duped their ass. So, you know, my young buck tell me, hey, I was a ward of the state, you know, so I think I got some stuff coming. Help me find out what I got coming. You know, because I was a ward of the state when I was 18. I'm like, baby, yeah, I'm going to kick your mama's ass, then I'll find out what you got coming. So here we go, Newark. And we're going to start on this, the riots in Newark. All right, so. A variety of factors contributed, right? Police brutality, political exclusion, same shit today. Urban renewal, and we'll go over that. That's interesting. Inadequate housing, unemployment, poverty, blah, 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 same shit. All right, police and community relations. For residents of Newark, predominantly black central ward, the police were a persistent, if not entirely unwelcome presence. Patrolmen, who were mostly Irish and Italian descent, routinely stopped and questioned black youth with or without provocation. During the decade preceding the riots, several high-profile cases of police brutality against young black men were reported, some resulting in death. In July of 65, Lester Long, age 22, was shot and killed by police after a routine traffic stop. A few weeks later, Bernard Rich, a 26-year-old African-American male, died in police custody under mysterious circumstances while locked in his jail cell. On Christmas, I'm sure his mama loved to hear that shit, on Christmas Eve, the young buck, Walter Mathis, age only 17, Chris's age, was fatally wounded by an accidental weapons discharge. Some like the shit in Oakland, right? While being searched. They like to kill a motherfucker on a holiday so they can take the bad news to their family on a holiday. While being searched for illegal contraband. Despite calls for the appointment of a civilian police review board and hiring more African-American policemen, such proposals went unheeded. Police-related shootings and beatings, for the most part, were not prosecuted. Few cases of police abuse in Newark ever made it to a jury. Political exclusion. Okay, the mutual suspicion and hostility that characterized the relationship between black citizens and the police in Newark were matched by feelings of political powerlessness towards political officials. Black residents of Newark were not only underrepresented on the police force, but were also sorely absent from the corridors of political power. This disparity of political power was self-evident in Newark when Mayor Hugh, who had professed sensitivity to black concerns during his election campaign, right? Failed to appoint blacks to leadership. Oh, yeah, this is the shit that killed me. And we have to go on to next week with this because this shit kills me. Failed to appoint blacks to leadership positions in his administration after, you know, getting our vote and shit. Most tellingly was the manner with which the mayor handled a school board vacancy. Now, check this shit out. Let me check my time. Okay, yeah, not much time. All right. By appointing an Irish high school graduate, Councilman J.T. Callahan over Mr. Wilbur Parker. And this dude was the first African-American certified public accountant in the state of New Jersey, CPA. First, the very first, in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. That's where Newark is, in New Jersey. This fool that bantered for our votes, bantered for the African-American vote in those days, okay, appointed a high school graduate to councilman instead of the first African-American CPA in the state. Woo! Further contention resulted over the administration of federal anti-poverty funds. As part of Lyndon B. Johnson's war on poverty, the federal government sought to channel funds to community groups in poor neighborhoods as a means of empowering poor people to address social problems. Utilizing these funds, the black community began to organize politically. When federal anti-poverty funds were cut back, militant groups like Amiri Baraka, is that my boy, if I'm not saying his name right, then known as Leroy Jones, began to speak of revolution. And I know that shit is right. And urban renewal, and we're going to stop there because that's what they called it. In Newark, and we're still talking about the causes of the Newark riot back in 67. In Newark, urban, quote, urban renewal or Negro removal, as they called it, as it was referred to by local residents, would play an important role in fomenting rebellion. Plans were already in place to build superhighways, which would dissect the black community. Then, in the early months of 1967, the city proposed the clearance of 150 acres of slum, quote, slum, land to build a medical school, hospital, complex. Of course, this would involve the demolition of numerous homes in the predominantly black, right, of course, central wards in Newark, New Jersey. Given the shortage of housing in other areas, the effect of such displacement were potentially devastating. Activist Tom Hayden succinctly summarized the residents' fears. Quote, the city's vast programs for urban renewal, highways, downtown development, and most recently, 150-acre medical school in the heart of the ghetto seemed almost deliberately designed to squeeze out this rapidly growing Negro community that represents a majority of the population, upon, end quote. Upon hearing the proposal, members of the local community quickly mobilized and began to hold protest rallies. Some of the same people who attended these rallies were present at the 4th Precinct House when the riots started that summer. The city's plan to build the medical school while demolishing black occupied homes helped to set the stage for a future confrontation. And we're going to stop it there with Newark and the causes. And what I want to say is that, you know, they're never going to stop beating our asses down. And we haven't even gone in enough of, it's like a systematic way to piss us off so they can beat us down. And if you look at anything that we've ever accomplished for black people, it's like, yeah, they give us something every 40 years to shut our fucking mouths. And in this 40, since I was born, you know, we were Martin Luther King, civil rights 45 years ago, here we have, you know, Barack Obama as president. That shuts us up, right? But it still doesn't give us any kind of equality here in this land that we helped build. While in 2010, our young sons, oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was my taser, but it was my gun. You know, come on now. We need to do something actively as a people and as families, and it's going to start in your home where you teach yourself and teach your sons how to overcome this. The one thing I've always taught my sons, they either want to see you dead or in jail, my baby, and I'm not going to have it happen. So I'm going to train you from the time you can understand English that this country wants to see you dead or in jail. There are not enough mothers out there, I can tell, over the past 20 years that have that conversation with their sons. And so that's why they're all dead or in jail. We need to have that conversation. We need to do something for our young men. I'm not going to let Elijah be dead or in jail. Because so far, Freddie, Uncle Chris, we good. But, you know, this is a diary, baby, where we love you. And do something good for a young black male next week and tell me all about it. When we're back next week, we're going to talk about housing that contributed to the riots in Newark, demographic change that contributed to the shit. And we're going to talk about some victims, how little babies who's getting picked out by snipers. Ain't no reason for that shit. Then we're going to go on to Detroit, all right, and police brutality. We're going to go on to it all. But understand it won't stop unless we make it stop. This is a diary where we love you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless black America, white America. Let's all work together to get this shit right. Because pompous ass America is going to make sure we all broke. We love you. Have a wonderful week and meet me here again next week. Peace, baby.